one verse of scripture for now in your reading. Man, those of you who don't know, Pastor is obviously gone with some of the other people in the church to a wedding. But Lord willing, he'll be back with us Wednesday night in Bible study. John 4:23, "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him." He's seeking true worshipers. Pray together with me here this morning one more time before we're seated. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for the beautiful spirit that we feel here this morning, God. We thank you for your peace. We thank you for moving and always convicting our hearts, Jesus. We pray that you anoint this message, Jesus. Anoint my tongue, God. Thank you for your word. Pray that it anoints somebody's heart, God, to receive it. And we thank you for what you're going to do, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Well, like it or not, to the pleasure of some and less pleasure to others, it's summertime. It is summertime. It's upon us. Every year at work, in what I do, we have, all year long we have these trainings, but it's always right about this time that we have one specific training talking about heat-related injuries and heat-related illnesses. Because it's something that everybody can obviously suffer from, but it's obviously this time of year that people really takes its toll on people. But they always talk about the same sort of things. They talk about how to prevent stuff like heat exhaustion, and then it worsens to heat stroke. But it always talks about ways to prevent it. Stay in the shade if you can. Stay out of direct sunlight. That's obvious. Stay well hydrated. Don't stay away from sugary drinks. Don't just drink soda all day in the sun and expect to be okay. But drink water, stay hydrated, you know, common sense stuff, but it's once you get out in it, you don't really realize how much the sun's taking a toll on you, how dehydrated you get until you really start to feel the effects, and sometimes it's a little late and you can't drink enough water at that point. But as I said, you get to heat exhaustion, and then you get even further if you let it go a little more, and you can have a heat stroke. It's where your body, you don't have enough water in your body, your organs start to shut down. It says you're supposed to drink 2 to 4 cups of water every hour that you're working in the sun. If you don't do that, then you get to that heat stroke stage and you start to lose concentration, you start to get confused, and you'll eventually black out if you don't drink enough water. But it's something that hung with me was something they said, one of the tips was don't wait until you're thirsty to drink water. For me, I have the same, I guess you could really boil it down to just a bad diet, but I have the same thing that my dad talks about. He hates water. I do enjoy water if I'm hot in this, as I'm talking about this sort of instance of working outside. I enjoy drinking water, but if I'm not thirsty, I don't think about it. But that's something I always say, hey, remember, don't wait until you're thirsty to drink more water. Water, obviously, is essential for you and I to live. All living things need water. You can go a month, depending on your age, your health, you can go a month and a half, up to 2 months before you will die of starvation from not eating food. I wouldn't recommend trying it. I personally never have. But you can only go... You can die of dehydration within 3 days without drinking water. We have to have water in our lives to survive. So don't wait until you're thirsty to drink more. Like we need water to survive physically, there's something we need to survive spiritually. We need the Spirit of God that we felt here so strongly here this morning to survive spiritually. It can't just be an every so often thing. It can't just be whenever you're thinking about it sort of thing. But we need a fresh touch very often to fuel our spirit. Very often in youth class, the subject comes up. We get into a discussion about the balance of our lives, of living your life in moderation. We exist as humans, as God created us. We live our life in a balance of spirit and flesh. Because you're always, at all times, feeding one of those. Your spirit, or you're feeding your flesh. What are you feeding in your life? If you aren't feeding your spirit, your life will become very out of balance. Just like if you don't drink water while you're working out in this weather, you'll head through heat exhaustion to heat stroke. Your organs will get dehydrated. Your brain's an organ. You'll become disoriented. You'll get confused, and you'll eventually black out unconscious. If you exist in this spiritual climate we live in today, this Jesus-less climate, this society that we live in that is so anti-Jesus, that is so anti-God, if you don't continuously hydrate your spirit, you will become confused. You will become confused in your life, and you will eventually black out spiritually, and you will be unconscious spiritually if you don't continuously feed yourself, if you don't continuously hydrate your spirit in your life. Our bodies, our souls cry out to be close to God. That's what we were created to do. But our flesh, on the other hand, wants entertained. And unfortunately for the majority, a lot of us, that is what we end up feeding the majority of the time. But if we could just understand how much easier our lives would be if we, instead of focusing on all the things, all the problems we have during the day, we indulge because, hey, I get home and I had a rough day. I've earned this time to this self-care. That's a big word here recently, is self-care. You need to take care of yourself. You've earned this. You've earned this time to sit down and do nothing. You went to work. Okay? We all go to work. That's just what we do. But how often do you indulge your spirit? Just like your flesh wants to relax, just like your flesh wants to be fed. Hey, I want entertainment. Hey, I want actual food. Hey, I want to indulge in all these different things. But how often do you listen to your spirit? You feed your flesh so much that you can't even hear your spirit saying, hey, I need a touch of the Holy Ghost. I need a touch of God. I need to feel His Spirit in my life. Hey, I need to feel God's presence in my life. So many problems that we face daily, you would worry so much less about them. It would take up so much less of your time, so much less of your stress, if you would just turn your eyes to Jesus and focus on Him and focus on His Spirit. Those things will grow strangely dim. Hey, wait a minute, this doesn't really matter as much as I thought it did. Now that I get into the presence of the Lord. Because what is really important? What is really important? See, a lot of us, a lot of the times, do the opposite of that. And what's actually important, eternity in our lives, that takes the back burner on our lives. And we have our flesh, and we don't hear our spirit crying out. Galatians 6:8 says, "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." The Bible tells us of a story of one of the days of Jesus. Jesus explains this very topic. If you'd allow me, I'd like to walk through it with you. So it was a hot summer day, and it was the middle of the day, about now, noonish, about the time we're sitting in now. It's hot. It's really hot outside. The Bible tells us that Jesus is walking with his disciples, and the disciples have to go into town to get some food, some stuff they need for their travels. The Bible tells us that Jesus goes separate from them, and he goes to a well. He travels into Samaria and goes to he sits at a well. And whenever Jesus is at this well, he encounters a woman. And he says to this woman, "Give me to drink." And she's immediately taken back. She said, "Why is it you, a Jew, asking me, a Samaritan woman for that matter, asking me for a drink? Why are you asking me for a drink?" The Bible tells us that this woman, she didn't know who Jesus was. He could have just been any person. The Bible does tell us that she knew he was a Jew. And the thing is, Jews didn't always have dealings with Samaritans. They viewed Samaritans as lesser. They didn't really like to deal with Samaritans. That's why Jesus, whenever he used the story of the Good Samaritan, whenever a Jew, he's telling the story to other Jews, he says, so this guy was in a ditch, and like, oh man, this poor Jewish guy is in a ditch, and all these other people, even a priest walks by him, but who's the one who stopped and helped him? The one who stopped and helped him is the one who you think lesser of, and it was a Samaritan. And in the same sort of context, it was Samaritan that Jesus is talking to here. He's at this well. This parcel of ground is a parcel of ground that Jacob originally had way back in the Old Testament, and he gave this area, this land, to his son. And the Bible tells us that it was in the hot part of the day that Jesus asked this woman for a drink, and she says, "Why are you asking for a drink?" And Jesus answered and said unto her, "If you knew the gifts of God, if you knew who was asking you, give me to drink, if you only knew, then you would be asking of him, and he would be giving you living water." The Bible says the woman said unto him, "You don't even have anything to draw with. Here I have my bucket, my pitcher, my water pot that I'm dipping down in this well, but how are you going to give me anything? You don't have anything to draw with." She didn't understand. See, she was walking through her life. She was walking through that day concerned with fleshly things, as most of us are. She was walking through her day thinking about fleshly things. She wasn't even concerned about the spiritual in her life. She said, this woman's confused. She said, "You don't have anything to draw with. Are you greater than our father Jacob that gave us this well and drank from himself and his children and his cattle?" Bible says, Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water, you're going to thirst again. If you drink this water, that pot that you have full of water already, if you drink of that, here in a little bit, you're going to be thirsty again." Jesus said unto her, "I will give you living water." Living water. Jesus is capable of giving us living water. He says, I like the words that he said there. He said, "A well of living water." A well of living water. Not just a cup, not just a bucket, because the Bible says that she had, it called it, what she had, it was a vessel. It called it a water pot, excuse me. It said she had some sort of pot of water, but he describes what he could give her, a well of living water. It's not just something little. It's not just a little bit of something, but it is a well, an endless well of living water. See, we aren't meant to just every now and then drink from a small cup of living water. We aren't meant to just every now and then get a little bit of Jesus. No, he gave us free access to an endless well of living water that we're meant to draw from daily. Don't wait until you are thirsty to drink. Don't wait until you are thirsty in your life to drink. We aren't supposed to wait until we absolutely can't take another step to call on his name. We aren't supposed to wait until our lives completely fall apart before we call on his name. We aren't supposed to just wait until we can't take it anymore to call on his name. But we are supposed to daily draw from that living well that he has given us. He's made it a daily walk that we're supposed to have with him, a relationship with him, not just when it's convenient. He gave us living water. Don't wait until you're thirsty to get a drink. Everybody's going to be thirsty by the time I'm done with this. As I am right now. The woman said unto him, "Sir, give me this water that I may thirst not, neither come hither to draw. She said, I want, yeah, sounds great. I want what you're selling. Jesus said unto her, he kind of changed the subject a little bit, as Jesus knows how to convict our hearts. He knows how to, but he's gentle about it. Jesus doesn't condemn us to where we feel so bad that we walk away from him. See, Jesus was gentle enough in this instance when he's talking to this Samaritan woman that this next part that I'm about to talk about, it could have made her walk away because she was mad, she was embarrassed. No, he was gentle enough, and that's how his convicting spirit is. It will draw you to him. But Jesus changed the subject on her because he knows how to draw out what is actually wrong. Jesus knew how to draw out what was actually wrong in her life. And Jesus, the Bible says, Jesus said unto her, go, call thy husband and come here. The woman answered and said, I don't have a husband. Jesus said unto her, you've said well. He said, you said well, you don't have a husband. He said, because I know you've had five husbands and the one you're with now is not actually your husband. Jesus brought up the sensitive. Jesus brought up the stained part of her life that she didn't want to talk about. Jesus brought up this part of her life. And then the next verse, she says, I guess you're a prophet because you know these things about my life. You have to be a prophet. Because she didn't quite understand who Jesus was, as I've already said. She didn't understand what Jesus was capable of giving her, but she understood, hey, he knows my life. See, that's the thing. Jesus was proving to her who he was. And he was doing it, as I said, gently. So many times in our lives, Jesus proves to us who he is. Yet somehow, we get amnesia every time we come up to a situation in our lives where we don't know what we're going to do. We forget who Jesus is. So Jesus was proving to her in the situation who he was. But the thing is, she could have felt, as I said, Jesus was gentle. She could have felt condemnation and thought, oh, he knows this. Now I'm not worthy of this well of living water that he's talking about. Now I'm not worthy to partake of this water that this prophet is talking about. No, Jesus still extended this offering to her of this living water after he reveals what he knows about her sin. She could have thought that her sin made her unworthy to be drinking of this water, but Jesus said, no, you're still worthy of this water. The woman immediately kind of changes the subject after she says, I guess you're a prophet. She says, our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. She's saying because she thought he was a Jewish prophet. So he's saying, you think Jerusalem is the place to worship. My people, our fathers worshipped here near this mountain. She immediately brings up worship. I find that interesting whenever we're talking about this because it follows the types and shadows. The Bible a lot of times follows types and shadows of the same thing in different situations. And the types and shadows here being God convicting her heart, and then now we're moving on to worship. And she brought it up. She brought up worship. She said, she wasn't quite worshiping yet, but she said, hold on, there's a little disconnect here because my fathers say worship here, your people say worship there. Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, there's an hour coming that you should neither in this mountain or Jerusalem, but you're going to worship the Father. It doesn't matter where you're at. Jesus tells her, there's a time coming soon when you won't have to worry about where you're worshiping, near this mountain or in Jerusalem. They had not yet had the dispensation of the Holy Ghost. Jesus had not yet died on the cross, but he was trying to explain to her, like he tried to explain to Nicodemus, hey, there's a time coming, but the beautiful thing is, you and I already have the dispensation of the Holy Ghost. We don't have to worry about where we worship. We don't have to worry about any situation in our life. If we come up against something, we don't have to worry about where we're at, what we're going to sacrifice. He already paid the ultimate price. We already have the dispensation of the Holy Ghost on our lives. If you have a situation in your life, it doesn't matter where you're at. You can call on the name of the Lord. You can worship God no matter where you're at. You can drive on your car on the way to work. You can worship at your bedside. You can worship wherever you're at. It doesn't matter. We still live in a free country. It doesn't matter what people say. We still live in a free country. There's no restrictions on where you can and cannot worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Verse 22 is where Matt said, "You worship, ye not know. You know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him." The Father seeking true worshipers. I still believe that is the case here today. Jesus is seeking those who will truly worship him. The spirit that we felt here this morning, God is calling you to worship. That's why we were created. So many situations in your life could be taken care of so easily if you would take care of this first. If you would take care of this thing right here first. If you would worship God instead of worrying about, sitting there thinking about all the things that you have to do, all the things, all the problems in your life, all the things that are bothering you right now, all the stress you're feeling right now, or the pride that is holding you back from worshiping him, if you would quit thinking about that and just freely give yourself to Jesus and you would truly worship him, all these other things, they grow strangely dim and say, oh, that doesn't really matter as much anymore. Because the thing is, whenever you live for God, it doesn't matter what happens to you. It doesn't matter what happens in my life. There's nothing you can do to me that is going to cause me a problem. It may cause me a problem temporarily right now in my flesh, but that's just my flesh. It doesn't matter because I'm looking for somewhere else. I'm looking toward a heavenly home. So it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how much anybody or anything hinders me. If I have my eyes set on him, if I come into his presence and I worship him, and that's what I'm worried about, if that's truly what I'm feeding is the spirit, and I come into his presence and I worship him, then again, it doesn't matter. What else? If you find yourself, I didn't think I was going to spend this much time, somebody needs to hear me here this morning. If you find yourself in a state of despair, if you find yourself in depression, anxiety, these key words that we like to use in this day and age, if you find yourself in that place here this morning, Jesus is the answer. He's here. We felt his presence already this morning. We felt his spirit moving. God's drawing spirits here this morning. Somebody needs to respond to that spirit. There's somebody here this morning that the Holy Ghost is trying to get a hold of your heart. The Holy Ghost is trying to get a hold of your spirit and say, just turn it over to Jesus. God just wants you to turn it over to him. Father seeking true worshipers here this morning. Moving on, he said, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman said unto him, I know that there's going to be a Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he has come, he will tell us all things. Then I'll read the next verse here. It says, Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto you am he. Can you imagine this? Here this woman is having all these problems in her life, these situations that there's Bible scholars that say that she was probably there alone in the hot part of the day, because most of the time people would go early in the morning, later in the evening when it was cooler, to draw. And most of the time in that culture, women would go in groups to go to draw together. She was by herself. So a lot of Bible scholars say, oh, it's because she was kind of looked down upon because of her social situation in her life. So she had all of this problems in her life that were weighing heavy on her. Can you imagine the relief she must have felt, the excitement she must have felt whenever she said, hey, I know, you must know this too, because I can see that you're a prophet. She said, I know that there is a Messiah coming that's called the Christ, that he will tell us all things when he comes. Can you imagine how she felt in her heart whenever he said, that's me? He said, I'm the one who can take care of that for you. That same Christ is here this morning. I don't know. I can try my best. I can say whatever words. I'm not as eloquent as some. But that Christ is here this morning. That Christ is here. That is the same Christ. See, we have our flesh in the way, and it's become old hat to us. Christ has become old hat to us. But that same Christ, that same excitement you can feel in your own heart because He has the answers for your heart. He has the answers no matter what your social situation is, no matter what your fleshly situation is. It doesn't matter. He is able to take care of any situation that you have here this morning. You should feel that same excitement if you would surrender to His drawing of the Spirit here this morning. You can feel that same excitement, that same relief on your spirit here this morning. The Bible says, "And upon came His disciples and marveled that He was talking to the Samaritan woman in the first place, but they didn't say anything." They didn't say anything. The Bible tells us that as they came, the woman left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the man, "Come and see this man which told me all things that ever I did." This is the Christ. I love that part. A while back when I was reading that verse, it stuck out to me that she left her water pot. Again, talking about types and shadows, she left her water pot. Jesus used the example, the type and shadow at the beginning of this, her drawing water, and He's like, "I can give you water that you won't thirst from." Again, she said, "You don't have anything to draw with. Where's your water pot that you're drawing with? I don't see it." So whenever Jesus gave her that living water, she left that water pot. She left that water pot sitting there because she said, "I don't need this anymore." She said, it didn't cross her mind. That's all she was there to do. That's the only task that she was there to do, was to draw water with that water pot that she carried there. And there was such a weight lifted off of her. Her life got changed so quickly in that situation that she left that water pot behind because that was fleshly. That was what she was worried about in her flesh. But all of a sudden, she had this realization that, oh my goodness, my life can be changed so much more. I have all this spiritual things that I can look after. And all of a sudden, she didn't even think about it. She just left and said, "I have to tell somebody about this change in my life." And she left that water pot behind. That same Christ is here this morning who can change your life. Those fleshly things that you're carrying around, that water pot that you're carrying around, you can leave it behind. You don't need it anymore. God's going to change your life if you allow Him. See, the thing is, if you would have blew Him off, if you would have said, I'm an outcast. You don't have to talk to me. I'm just going to go about my way. I'll come back later. She could have said that. Unfortunately, there will be some here today who walk away with that same attitude because pride gets in the way. Because pride, see, we view pride as somebody who is very boastful. But pride, the same way, that's a two-sided coin. Somebody ashamed, being ashamed, that's also pride. If you let that go and get in your way, the Bible says pride goes before destruction. That pride will destroy your life. If you let pride get in the way of you getting in connection with God, it will destroy your life, the Bible tells us. But that same crisis here this morning. And you too can, I hope, I'm going to open these altars here in a little bit, and I hope whenever I am done, not because of what I'm saying, but because this Christ is here this morning, I hope this altar is full of people's water pots that they left here. I hope this altar is full of all these things that people left behind and say, "I'm not going to worry about what is going to happen in the flesh. I don't, this job situation that I'm in, this situation that I'm in my marriage with my kids, I'm not going to worry about it. It's going to work out one way or another, but I have other things that I'm focused on, and it doesn't matter what happens flesh-wise in my life, but if I start feeding the Spirit, I'm taken care of." But the Bible says that she went and told all the men she said, hey, I know you guys all, I know I'm the outcast, but hey, that Christ that we all know about, he's over at the well. He's at the well right now. That's who I'm, your testimony in your life is how you're going to be a witness to others. Because the thing is, nobody can take away your testimony. Nobody can take away your testimony. It doesn't matter what other people say. You can say, "Yeah, but look how my life changed." You can say that you've tried religion before. You can say that this hasn't worked for you before, that you're still in a bad situation in your life. But her situation where she says, "Yeah, but you don't understand. You've never tried it this way before. You've never tried giving away the fleshly things." You can go to all these people, try to correct the flesh part, but that's the thing. He doesn't even correct it. He just gives you something new. He gives you eternal, this living water that He's trying to give you. It's completely new. Don't worry about that old stuff. And she spread her testimony, and that's what you can do in your life, is spread your testimony. If you continue reading the end of the chapter, many believed on Him that day that He was the Christ, because of this woman's testimony. because of this woman's testimony. Again, she could have, because of her social situation, she could have kept it to herself because she didn't want to be embarrassed by all these people that looked down on her. A lot of people don't have a witness with people that they come in contact with, their peers, their family, because they think that they're not good enough, that they'll say, "You're like, what are you, who are you? Like, why is God, that doesn't matter." The thing is, it's not by our works. It doesn't matter how good I can live. It is by the grace of God. I'm so thankful for the grace and mercy of God every single day, because it is by His mercies. I don't have to live good enough, and I can't live good enough. That's why He had to come. That's why He had to be the ultimate sacrifice. That's why He had to die on the cross for your and my sins. So her testimony reached all of these other people in her town. The same way your testimony, if you choose to this morning, come lay your water pot down, come lay all these fleshly things down and say, "I want this living water. I want a fresh touch of the Holy Ghost here this morning." The same way your testimony can reach your lost family. Your testimony, it doesn't matter how good or bad you've lived your life. If you will give your life to God, if you will give your life to Jesus here this morning and accept His living water, then that same offering can be to you. And you can still, it doesn't matter how you've been. People will see you differently because you'll become, as a prism redirects light, you will become salt and light to the world. His light will shine through you to other people. And that's how you will become a witness, as this woman was here this day. So after she left, the disciples came and said, they said, "Master, eat." And He said unto them, because Jesus was thinking about spiritual things right now, He said, "I have meat to eat of that you don't know of." Using the same example as He was using of the woman. "Therefore," said the disciples one to another, "who brought Him food?" I thought that verse actually makes me laugh, because He said, "I have meat to eat that you don't know of." And they said, "Who brought Him food?" That's what the verse says. It says, hang on, I lost it. The Bible said one to another, "Hath any man brought Him aught to eat?" They're like, "Who? Nobody brought Him food. How does He have food?" Because they didn't understand. They were still thinking as this woman was initially. They said the same thing. "Where's your pot? You don't have anything to draw with. What are you talking about? You can give me water." And they were saying the same thing. What are you talking about, food? You don't have any food? Who brought you food? Because they were thinking about, the same way this woman was, they were thinking about fleshly things. They were thinking about the fleshly things in their life. They weren't understanding because they had missed this whole exchange that God had with this other woman. They weren't thinking about spiritual things, because all they were thinking of, again, it was midday, it was lunchtime. They were thinking about lunch, as a lot of us, I'm sure a lot of you are right now. "I'm coming to a close, you can eat in a little bit. Hang on, I'll get there, I promise." But he said unto them, "Say ye not, there are yet 4 months, and then comes harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look under the fields, for they are ripe and ready to harvest." He tells the disciples, rein it in here. I know it's lunchtime and that's weird, you're thinking about food, but rein it in here spiritually. He said, "Look up, the fields right now are ripe with harvest." You and I, we live in that same hour here today. The fields that we live in here today are ripe with harvest. There are many. We are living in the last days. Whether you choose to believe it or not, we are living in the last days. God's not going to wait on you to believe that we're in the last days for His trumpet to sound. That's not how it's going to work. The trumpet of God is going to sound. Musicians, if you would please come. Almost done, I promise. The same Jesus that offered this Samaritan woman living water, again, I urge you, I don't know how else to say it, but that Jesus is here this morning. His Holy Ghost is here this morning. If you don't understand that, that's what you say, Jesus isn't here. Jesus died and was resurrected. God manifests Himself into flesh and walked the earth as Jesus. Still one, but God put Himself into flesh. Jesus was God in the flesh. Emmanuel is what they called Him. God with us. He was God. And then after He was crucified, we now have what we call the Holy Ghost, or His Holy Spirit, as the Bible refers to it. It is God, but is this spiritual embodiment of God. So whenever I say, I'm trying to make this as plain as possible here this morning. Whenever I say that Jesus, that Christ is here this morning, that's what I'm talking about. The same Jesus, I want you to understand this. I don't want to move past this. I want you to understand this. That Jesus that is talking to the Samaritan woman, Jesus that did all these miracles in the Bible, his spirit, the spiritual embodiment of God, of Jesus, is here this morning. That spirit that you felt here this morning, that maybe you didn't respond to at first this morning, if maybe you didn't understand, that spirit is God here this morning. I'm going to open these altars here in the morning, in a minute here this morning. I urge you, I'm not going to make you, nobody's going to make you, because here's the thing, nobody can live a walk with God for you. Young people that are in here, your parents, your grandparents, your aunts, your uncles, it doesn't matter how good they live their lives, how good a walk with God they have, they cannot live a walk with God for you. Husbands, wives, your significant other can't walk with God for you. You have to have your own personal relationship with God. If you're tired of worrying about your daily problems, all the stress that you have in your life, all of the problems that you come up against that it drives you crazy, I give you that Jesus. His Spirit's here this morning. We've already felt it. His Spirit is here this morning. That's what I'm bringing to the offering. That's what I'm offering here this morning, is Jesus. That's who's here this morning. Do you understand how powerful that is? Anything that you have need of, he's able to answer here this morning. So if you're tired of worrying about all these problems, if you're tired of being stressed out in life, if you will turn your eyes upon Jesus, if you will look at his face, it is really true that the things of earth, the things that you're dealing with, the importance of them truly does strangely grow dim. Strangely, all these things that were keeping you up at night, it strangely is not as important anymore. It's still there. Don't get me wrong, it's still there. But the situation is in God's hands. Your life is in God's hands whenever you hand it over to him. So it doesn't matter what the doctor says. It doesn't matter what is happening with the fight you got in with somebody else. Yeah, you still need to, it's not a magic button that you instantly just like, oh, well, put it in God's hands. You still have to work some things out in your life. But no matter what, you're still taken care of. No matter what happens, that's hard for us to understand because we're never offered anything that generous anywhere else in our life. But God will see you through. God will take care of you. If you want, these altars are open. Come. Jesus is here this morning. That's what I'm offering you here this morning. He's calling to all of the true worshipers here this morning. He's saying, come. Those of you who will, let them come. He said, I want you to be taken care of. He said, if you're tired of worrying about all this stuff, he said, it's not magically going to be taken care of immediately, but your life will be so much easier if you will simply, he said, try me. My yoke is easy. He said, the burden that, he said, it's easy. He said, it's light. The burden you're carrying around is heavy. He said, I can help you with that. But if you're sitting there here this morning waiting for somebody to come grab your hand and pull you to an altar of repentance, if you're sitting there waiting on God to magically pull you, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. See, God is a gentleman. We were created to worship him, but God's not going to make us worship him. We were created to have a relationship with God, but he's not going to make us. If you choose to live a life walking away from God, then he's not going to put you in a chokehold and drag you back. But that Christ is here this morning, just with open arms saying, I want to take care of it for you here this morning. As they begin to come, as they begin to sing, I wonder if you can't come here this morning. God is drawing you here this morning. He said, please, please come. Jesus. Hallelujah. That's why.